Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is,
I think it's the 10th.
December 10th. Yeah, because the 11th
first day
is
of Hanukkah.
Is it?
It is. Yeah, because it moves every year.
And I've totally lost track with the Jewish holidays this year.
Like, well, Hanukkah is difficult because Hanukkah shifts. It's not based on our calendar.
Oh,
so
okay.
Some years it coincides with Christmas. Some
yeah, later.
Or,
yeah.
Or later. Yeah, yeah.
Well, happy Hanukkah to all our Jewish listeners and Jewish family and friends. Peace to my just reminded me. Peace to my. I think I mentioned before my accountant Artie Bader from the Bronx. he retired. Sent me a nice email saying, you know, he's shifting me over to. I believe it's his son-in-law. You know how that go. It's not going outside the family.
At all.
So right. Peace to Artie and happy Hanukkah to him, and I wish him well in his retirement. But how's everybody doing?
B, I'm delirious. I'm in New York for maybe 36 hours. I got here at 8:00 this morning. I have not really been asleep. I drove most of the trip.
Of course you did.
Did
your mother hit you with that fake out? Like, are we going to, I'll drive some of the way.
Yes.
Come on.
And the thing about mom is she would have if I asked her to, but she was also like half asleep when she was asking.
Okay.
Was like, and at one point, because I dropped mom in D.C. at Eric's house. So, because she hadn't seen him in a while. And at one point, we were like 40 minutes out from D.C. and she had just woken up. Like, well, do you want me to take over since you got to drive?
For the last 36 minutes.
I was like, by the time I pull over.
Yeah, we could have been there.
Which, like, it doesn't even make sense. It's 3:00 in the morning.
You got to adjust your mirrors. You know what I'm
saying? And the seat. You know what I'm saying?
By the time I do that, we could be in D.C. Why would we do that right now? Yeah. Like, that doesn't even make sense. She was like,
your mother could pull up and say, I took it on in. I bought it on in. You know, I did this last leg
so she could push on.
Exactly. It's like she'd get a little nap, you know?
Right. But it was actually, I haven't done that drive in a really long time. And she took most of the first leg. I will say, she took us to, like, the early North Carolina area, but I was coming down the turnpike as the sun was coming up, and you know, this has been a year when I haven't really, because I don't drive in New York unless I get a zip car or something. So I almost wanted, I'm gonna be 100% with y'all gonna think I'm crazy. I gotta give y'all a backstory. When my grandfather was alive, up until his late 70s, he would run up, because my grandmother, when she retired, she left New York and went to South Carolina. She was over the city. She was over the noise. She had a inner ear imbalance, which made a lot of things really uncomfortable for her to do here. So she went back down south, bought a house. My grandfather's mother was still alive. So he was coming back and forth to the south. They were still married, but they just lived in separate states because he was not leaving New York. But he used to run up and down the road like he was going between boroughs. He'd be in South Carolina and be like, oh, I left a piece of mail back in the Bronx. I'm going to go get it.
And come back.
And I'll be back. So when I landed in South Carolina, the night before I left, I was doing some stuff in the kitchen that I had a contractor's bag for. I had cleaned the refrigerator out, straightened to that, took out the house trash. When I was landing in South Carolina, I had a moment, like the Home Alone moment, where the mom is like, Kevin, I realized I had not actually taken out the trash from underneath the sink. And I was supposed to, like, the actual kitchen trash. And I was supposed to be gone for 3 weeks. And I was like, I don't remember what's in the trash. I don't remember if it's perishable. I don't remember if it's meat products. Like, I can't leave trash under my sink for 3 weeks. So I think I told you guys last week, just felt really unorganized and packing to leave. So I got this seed in my head, like, I'm going to go back to New York for a day. And I asked mom, I was like, do you want to take the drive? Because I was also just like, I haven't really driven just through anything. Like, I haven't been anywhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was also like, it might be good to just see the world outside of New York. You know what I mean? Just like drive. So I actually enjoyed the drive. And I was coming down the turnpike. Or up the turnpike as the sun was coming up, and the, you know, as you're that when you're going through Newark and you're looking at Long Island City, it all looked pink with the sun. Like, I wish I could have gotten a photo of it. Like, the whole thing was pink with the sun coming up, and, you know, I was coming across the bridge, the George Washington Bridge, just as the sun was cresting, and I was just like, okay, this, like, the whole drive was worth that moment, just coming into the city over the bridge for the first time. And I haven't driven into the city over the George Washington Bridge in a year, probably. So it was actually all worth it just to do that, to me. Okay. Yeah. But it was also fortuitous because FedEx's punk ass, I had a delivery coming internationally. They wouldn't let me change the address. I put it on vacation hold, but them niggas showed up at my door at 1:30.
FedEx is, I know that's your old spot, but FedEx is real funky style with changing addresses and always like that, or was it just some recent shit?
I would probably say this is recent, but you guys have to remember that because recently with wire fraud and all sorts of scamming and people using credit cards and fake identities, and, you know, that shit going to Miss Mary been dead for 2 years. There's a lot of shit like that goes on, particularly when they're dealing with international, right? So you have a lot of steps in compliance that comes in with international shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fair. And I figured that because it was just like, you can't do this. And I was like, I pay, you know, in my mind, I'm like, I pay for delivery manager to do this, but I got it. But then my thing was, all right, well, let me put it on vacation hold until I get back. And this is like $1,000 pack. These niggas, like, literally, I would have been so hot if I got a delivery exception notice and I was not going to be home for another, like, week and a half. Yeah. I would have been hot. So I'm glad I was here. It was actually, if nothing else, it was worth me being here for that.
Yeah, for that. Yeah. How you doing, Inga?
So remember a couple of weeks ago, I told y'all, like, I'm super happy. I got my, like, household routine.
That was a lie.
Yeah, you was popping.
That was a
fucking lie. So I am doing my best to just hold it together.
Listen, it's the end of the year. All of us are just trying to get to motherfucking December 31st. That's all anybody's trying to do.
Just trying to get a family photo. Like, we have on this
shirt. Oh, you got the outfits and all that?
Working.
Oh, shit. One of them.
I'm losing daylight.
Does Ivy pose? I feel like you do a lot of action shots with her. Does she not pose?
She does not care that you're trying to do anything, really.
She's doing her.
She does everything on her own time. She'll, you know, a smile will happen, but yeah, I'm just trying to get one decent photo. Just one.
How you doing, bro? You good?
I'm good, man. I got a shout out this week. Actually, I want to give a shout out to Vicky.
Okay.
The Russian acupuncturist lady I've been going to.
All right.
Been helping me out with my back.
How's that been working? I've been considering.
So I've been to 2 sessions so far. It's been, like, amazing to see the difference.
Really?
I really feel the difference.
I have been going to the chiropractor for a minute. You know, long story short is that it wasn't a spine issue. It's really a muscle issue. And so I've just been trying to, like, figure out how to kind of get this. It's called a rhomboid major, like, and it's super, super tight. It's like a huge knot. Mm-hmm. I sleep really terribly. And so, the stretching was kind of working and these other things were kind of working, but they were taking very long. And so the lady said, hey, you should, you know, think about a acupuncturist. Mm-hmm. And so I found one, went to her. It's been great. Obviously, you know, you think it's weird. You think you're going to lay on this table and have somebody just kind of dropping needles in the points where, and it was none of that. She was actually in my hand.
Do the needles hurt?
Let me
preface this by saying I have it's not quite a phobia, but it's right on the line of phobia with needles.
It doesn't hurt. That is relatively speaking. I have a really high threshold for pain. they sting, right? And what she does is
like a bite, really, like a bite.
Yeah, it's like a little pinch, like a little pinch. Nothing, you know. It's not like doesn't stay with you for very long. It doesn't stay with me, I should say, for very long. But she kind of like twists the needle, and you will kind of feel almost like an electric shock. It's almost like a, and that's when she knows she's kind of like at that spot. And it's funny because I had gone to acupuncture before, but I never felt that. Mm. And then she just explained, you know, everybody's kind of different, and this is, you know, but I can sort of literally feel the pain and the pinching sort of moving in my body. So it was really, really eye-opening. So, like, peace to her. She also, you know, I said I was going to say this to you guys. She also recommended I take an Epsom salt bath. And I realized that I had reached superior old nigga status because it was recommended.
Take an Epsom salt bath. Yes.
All right, well, them shits work, though. Like,
she said
my tub at home, because, you know, I live in a fucking New York apartment, is not designed for actual baths. But anytime I know I'm going to have, or in the old world, anytime I knew I was going to have a hotel room with a bathtub, I would bring salts with me and just soak, because that shit really does work.
Okay.
I will say my best friend has been going to an acupuncturist, and she stopped her anxiety medicine altogether.
Wow.
Like,
she's doing really well. She went for like menopause symptoms because it was really like, she took a leave of absence from work for 3 months. She was going, and she went to acupuncture 4 times maybe, and she's off meds. She's doing really well. She's not even taking like hormones for the menopause change. So check it out. It might be worth
I've been thinking about it because I have like this really chronic, and I've had it for 20 years, like this chronic pain that's between my shoulders and goes down my back, but it stretches. It affects everything. And I think there's a pinched nerve somewhere in here, or at least that's what my manual physical therapist said. The people who do massage therapy, but they do it to hurt, not to make you feel better. Like, they're really trying to stretch your shit apart. But I've been thinking of trying acupuncture for a long time. My thing with needles, though, is that I have a high pain threshold, but I anticipate needle pain. Like, in my mind, I'm like, this is gonna hurt, this is gonna hurt, this is gonna hurt. So I freak out. I can only give blood without freaking out. Like, I can't get a shot. I've had to be put to sleep to get, like, you have to give me a series of shots, you gotta put me to sleep. Cause after you give me one, I'm not gonna let you give me another. Oh. I'm gonna leave.
Not like B.A. Baracus.
B.A. Baracus. Jeez. I wanted to start the show off by giving a shout out, but RIP to Natalie Deschelle. Am I saying it right? Deschelle Reed, star of Baps, The Eve Show, Cinderella with Brandy on ABC, and various other roles throughout her life, who passed away from colon cancer at only 53 years old, which is great, insane. Man. Now, one thing, I'm confused. I saw a clip just a few days ago of her and Halle walking down, I guess it was Hollywood Boulevard. Was that recent or was that old?
No. It was a promo for Baps from back in the day.
From back in the day, okay. Because somebody had wrote this only a few days ago. I was like, wait, no.
No, they meant Halle only posted it. Halle posted it before she died. Halle posted it like 3 days before she died.
Oh, that's what it was.
That was irony. And then some dumb motherfucker responded underneath it. She was setting her up to sacrifice her because
of
the Illuminati.
Yeah, the Illuminati. Yeah, don't yeah, but I always enjoyed that. I thought she, you know, she was a very cute girl. I thought her comedic timing was great. And actually, like, I was talking to our friend of the show, Cousin Reagan Gomez. It was funny. We were talking about Bass literally like a day or so before she passed. She posted something about it, and then we started kind of going back and forth about it, and that Robert Townsend had directed it, and actually Troy Bayer actually wrote the screenplay, so it was like a lot of black talent behind the scenes on that.
I didn't know it was Troy.
Yeah, Troy Bayer. Yeah, Troy Bayer screen wrote that, and she's in the movie the small role as the lawyer. And I think Baps is, I mean, and this is previous to Natalie sadly passed away, like, I think Baps is kind of like a little black classic in a way.
Yeah, people love Baps. Mm-hmm. I think it's I'll be very honest, and now I'm going to have to rectify that. I have never seen Baps in full.
Really?
Because it just didn't appeal to me.
It's
I know it's a very feel good movie.
It's a good story, because it definitely starts, you know, Hallie and Natalie playing these country girls. They're from like Columbus, Georgia, or Macon, Georgia, somewhere in Georgia. And they come to L.A. kind of like almost like a scam way. They're these, you know, they got the hair and all that and the gold teeth and all that. And their dream is to open up a beauty salon. And so I forget exactly that, but somehow, some way, there's a woman who they claim to be the nieces of, who was Martin Landau, who plays Mr. B, his longtime maid,
okay,
who passes away. And they're like, we're her nieces or whatever, but they're fronting. And so he takes them in, and then they start to like live there. And he lives in this big, beautiful home, and like, I don't know if it's in Bel Air or something, so crazy. You know, and then like there's the butler there, who's his longtime butler. And first he's looking at them like, y'all on some fuck shit. But then, you know, they connect with him.
They win him over.
Yeah, but the movie kind of really goes from this like kind of like over the top, you know, crazy, goofy comedy to like, and it has like real like heavy like moments of like sadness, and like there's some real acting that goes on towards the end. Yeah. Like is this possibly absolutely gonna like tear up and cry? So it's got like a lot more depth to the movie than I think if you just kind of didn't look at it, you would think it is. But like I said, if you
watch, I believe that because it's
Robert. A great Saturday afternoon watch.
Yeah, I believe that because it's Robert Townsend. He doesn't really do fluff, you know. So yeah. I believe that. But I had never watched it in full, but I would say for millennials especially, it's definitely like a cult classic. They love that movie.
For sure.
A lot of people talking about like how often they watch it. One person,
yeah, because it comes, it seems at one point, okay, it was coming on TV like every Saturday. It was on TV all the time. I'm sure BET's about to probably do a run now because it's Natalie's passing. But anyway, I just wanted to say that because
I became familiar with her in Eve, and there was and you know, listen, not that the acting in Eve was winning any awards, but it was a cute
it was a good show.
It was a very cute show. I rewatched it recently. Shout out to TV1. They ran it.
Did you watch Eve's Uncensored?
No.
It's actually really good. And she keeps it real funky. And she talks about the show. Mm-hmm. And she basically says, yo, I fucked it up. And she's like, yo, we was going to go much longer. But she said it was her. She would like show up mad late. She was like, I was showing up mad late. I was partying too hard in L.A. I was fucking up. And people on the set were basically like, yo, like, you're killing us. And she said, like, I don't forget how many seasons on, but there weren't much longer to go to get syndicated.
Right. I think they did three.
I think they did three.
So they might have one or two. I thought that, I think that officially they were a victim of the CW-UPN merger.
I'm saying they might have been on
the chopping block because Eve was, because the last episode was a massive cliffhanger. They didn't wrap the show up.
Yeah, because they thought it was coming back, but and it wasn't. They didn't get cut because of the network. They got cut because of Eve. Eve just said, "Fuck, I quit."
Right.
I'm doing this shit no more. Like, I'm tired. I don't want to get up early no more.
Because she
walked away.
Because she was also very cute. Like, Eve herself was very cute in it. She was the complete opposite.
She was the star of the show, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she was the complete opposite of, like, you know, rapper Eve. But that's how I got to know
Natalie.
And there's this scene that I always remember, because she plays, like, this Christian girl who married, like, her first love and all this stuff. And there's this moment where she's feeling jealous and she feels like her husband and Eve are flirting with each other, and she slaps the shit out of Eve. And I'm like, a black person wrote this script right here. Like, because this is a white person did not write. And then she's like, and then Eve was like, what the fuck? She was like, girl, I'm so sorry. Like, but she slapped the shit out of her. And I was like, yeah, a black person wrote that.
Yeah. So just peace to her and her family. And, you know, it's a tough time to go through, but just wanted to say that. Also wanted to mention, Hector Macho Camacho. He has a documentary on Showtime, which I thought was excellent. Did you watch it, bro?
I did watch it.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was excellent, but I thought it was very well done.
Okay.
But I definitely feel like they left a few things out.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, watching the doc, you know, sometimes, and let me just say this, a lot of times these documentaries are passion projects.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really done with the idea that they're going to make a lot of money. It's a story you want to tell. And so sometimes when you start these projects off, they're going in one direction and you start to peel back these, you know, the layers of the onion, mm-hmm. and then you're going into a different direction. And so I think that that's kind of what happened. And I think that this might have gotten away from is probably a wrong term. I don't want to be too harsh to the director, but this required a little more, in my opinion, a little more journalistic angles. On his death. I felt like they didn't really put a lot of time into it. It's almost like you get all of the macho shit that you kind of expect and you might have thought was happening, and it's confirmed, mm-hmm. right? And you get that for like, you know, it's a 90-minute doc, so you get that for like 75 minutes. Yeah. And then like the last 15 minutes is them jamming in
that he was murdered.
You know, basically the last 5 years of his life.
Yeah. But he was down in Puerto Rico wilding out. And I actually didn't remember that he had fought that long. Again, he fought like for a long time, you know. But it was, you know, it's a good, interesting doc. If you don't know, like he's a Puerto Rican kid from the east side of Manhattan. You know, street kid, you know, the usual kind of, you know, street fuckery, and gets into boxing as a young age, probably like what, 12, 13, maybe a little younger.
Yeah, he started like really young.
Yeah. And he used to fight on the street.
He was a fighter. He was a street fighter.
Yeah, his family says he liked to fight. Like he actually enjoyed fighting. Like that's what he liked to do anyway. So he gets into that and starts boxing in the gym, and he gets the trainers, and they kind of teach him, and he goes through the ranks, golden gloves, and blah, 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 blah. And golden gloves, they say he was like 96-4 or some crazy shit.
I can totally believe that. Boxing during that period, particularly between 1950s and probably the mid-80s, the two biggest sports in New York City was basketball and boxing.
No question. So, you know, he show up, go through the ranks, and, you know, he ends up winning a title and all the money that comes. This is in the 80s. And so, basically, he was moving like you know, all the Tyson stories that we know of. He was basically doing the same shit.
Oh, yeah.
But the Puerto Rican version, like, the cars, you know, hanging out in the hood. You know, they didn't get into the girls that much, but he was, like, banging everybody, moving. Like, he was just – but his issue was he was a cocaine addict. And he started sniffing cocaine when he was, like, 15. And never got off it.
His ex-wife said, he was like, yo, I like this shit.
Yeah.
He was basically like, I like being high. Like, I enjoy this. He seemed to, and I use this word relative, he seemed to have it under control to some level, because you didn't really hear about like the real super financial woes.
Yeah.
You didn't really hear about like, you know, he offered to suck my dick in the alley.
You didn't hear
none of that shit. Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was almost like he just kind of, this was his vice. This was his thing.
This is his thing.
Even sort of later on in life, he didn't seem to be like fucked up.
Yeah, he seemed to be all right, like when he was down in Puerto Rico.
And that's probably a jaded way for someone who has never been addicted to look at addiction, right? Like to view it through this prism, right? But because I'm sure he's left a trail of tears and damage in his wake. So I don't want to be dismissive of what, you know, drugs do. I'm just saying relative to what we think of as somebody going along that path, he just didn't seem to fall off the cliff, so to speak. He would run up to the cliff and then die.
And then kind of pull back a little bit. But it's on Showtime. I suggest you watch it. I thought it was a good watch.
His mother and his sisters are so fucking New York City.
They are if you could write down, I'm going to get these two sisters and this mother from the East Side, Puerto Rican, like that. That's them.
Yo, all of that.
Making the oatmeal. This way.
Once I saw how old that pot was, I said, oh, that shit tastes amazing.
Amazing.
I know it tastes. She's been cooking in that pot since 64. Well, I know it.
Easy. Yes. And it was good. It was good. I want to bring up this other thing that I saw on the Twitters that was just kind of wild to me, man. So there's this girl on Twitter named Ms. London. Have any of you seen her? She's a porn star. It's like she posts her videos on Twitter all the time. It's like it ain't Sean's face. I ain't seen nothing.
No, I mean I seen it.
Yeah.
We all saw it.
Yeah, I saw it. She posted. She's been posting her videos on Twitter. Apparently, like 100 videos. She's been posting videos for quite a while now. So they just pop up on your timeline. I said, "What the hell is this?" So, apparently, Lil Baby, the rapper, his birthday was recently. I guess within the last week or so. So he somehow linked up with her to have an encounter. You know, happy birthday to me. Paid her allegedly again. All this is allegedly. Allegedly paid her $16,000, and they had their encounter. And Ms. London jumps on the Twitter immediately after the encounter. And this is not allegedly, because you can look up these tweets, and says basically like, "Yeah, your man, you know, wrecked off on me, crazy. I loved it. I enjoyed it. And you know, I know his girl ain't never leaving him because of the way he puts his game down. Blah 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 blah." So then it says a couple more tweets. So then Lil Baby apparently goes in her DMs and is like, "Yo, like, what the fuck? Yo, like, I paid you $16,000 to not talk.
Right.
Why are you on Twitter talking? What the fuck are you doing?"
And she, marketing.
Yeah.
He's like, losing recipes.
Yeah, he's like, "Yo, like, this is always you." And she in turn posts the DM of him saying this. He's like, "Yo, I paid you $16,000. Like, what are you doing?" So She repeatedly keeps going on Twitter like, "Yeah, I messed up, but you know, I got some good dick and I liked it." Like she posted about this for like 3 days straight. Even people on the timeline were like, "Why are you still talking about this? Like, don't you understand you did a transaction with this man and you are completely violating it and fumbling your future bags?"
No, she's not, because she proved that he paid her that money. She proved that it really happened. And now a whole bunch of other niggas that like to line up behind celebrity niggas are going to be reaching out to her to offer her a bag.
But I thought the point of paying a sex worker, like, you don't pay them for sex, you pay them to leave.
Right. That's what normal people do. Clout chasing niggas who got money but nothing else will pay to be like, "I fucked London. I fucked the same person, Lil Baby fucked." She's not necessarily concerned about the quality of the bag. There are niggas who will. Now that they know what happened.
I mean, that's fair.
I just thought it was like,
it's bullshit.
It's bullshit.
It's bad business. Everything our generations believe in.
I'm paying you for silence. I'm paying you for silence.
For discretion.
This cash is an NDA. Like, you're not.
I was about to say, that's why motherfuckers need to actually get NDAs. If you want silence,
they will have him moving forward. Because he's a big artist. He makes a lot of money. He's had, I think, three number one albums. Like, I think he's bigger than people kind of realize. He's like a big artist. He's like on the Billboard Awards. He's like a pop art star at this point. So the fact that she did that, you know, $16,000 to him is bullshit. It's not the money. It's just like, shorty, like, why are you talking, man?
It's the principality.
Go ahead, bro,
with the bullshit.
I just got a question. Was $16,000 for one session?
One.
Or was that like a weekend?
No, no, it was a one timer.
One time.
Okay. A one-hit acquitter. $16,000.
16 racks. Apparently he paid her allegedly, he paid her $6,000 cash and then zelled her 9. So it's actually 15.
There's like a tax limit when you send money.
Yeah, you can't zell more than a certain amount.
$10,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Couple other things on that. Nigga. That's called structuring.
Correct.
And I can assure you
the government,
the IRS fucking knows about that. You know what
but
I'm
again,
saying?
Like, now, but, because she fucking talked.
Well, yes, 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 yes. Normally, that's kind of, but either way, I'm just, I was shocked that, I wasn't shocked that this had taken place, right? Like, that's whatever. She's a porn star. This is kind of what she does. This was no judgment to either of them. No, I was just really curious about what came on, like, what all come with that 16? And like, what size do I get with that?
Do I get a cake?
About the closet?
Yeah, do I get a cake with that?
You know, yeah, and one, nigga, is there a plus one with the 16? Like, what happens here for this full 16? Like, do I still have to pay for the room? Is that included in the fee?
All included.
What about the Uber? Yeah, like, what about
that,
the Uber?
Is that 16 all in? 16 plus expenses?
Yeah, do I still got to send the Uber? Is there still ground transportation here? Is there rider requirements at the hotel?
Is there a Chick-fil-A on the rider?
See, But y'all laughing. But when niggas ask questions like that, that's how you get clarity, and that's how motherfuckers keep their mouth closed.
Yeah, exactly.
Ask some questions, nigga. Ask some goddamn questions.
The funny one of the funniest things that she said that just kind of went past everybody because it turned into this whole thing about her tweeting. She said that that nigga didn't say two sentences to her.
Why would he? It's a transaction.
Period. Like, yeah. When she came to the room, he just got right to it. He didn't say nothing. How you doing? Let's go. Ain't no talking. Ain't no what's good. He was like, pop, 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 two sentences. I'm tearing you up, and I'm leaving.
Drake. He's not going to play his new album for her first.
I'm not mad at that because...
I wasn't mad either.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that at all because, like, she is a sex worker. I'm saying this not with any shot to sex workers. She is a sex worker. He paid her for sex.
What are we talking about?
Bitch, I ain't pay you for a conversation. Let's go. Yeah. Like, I go to therapist for that other shit.
I found this very fascinating. And then I actually jumped on, I was on Clubhouse like that day, and I went into a room and they were talking about it. And I was having this whole kind of conversation with, Clubhouse, everybody's super, super young. You know what I'm saying? So like, I'm in the room, like, everybody's like probably in their 20s, you know, and they're having this conversation about this. And it was just a fascinating, it's fascinating to see the thought process of kind of like that.
Was it a room that 21 Savage was?
No, 21. No. It was a smaller one.
21 is often in these conversations.
21 is always in these. I'm sure that
I found it fascinating.
I'm sure he talked about it, but just not. He wasn't in the room I was in. Okay. One more quick thing. I haven't finished yet, but I'm watching this documentary, and bro, I think you would really enjoy this. It's about. Do you guys remember the case of Dominic Strauss-Kahn? You remember this?
I remember his name, but what happened?
So Dominic Strauss-Kahn was the head of this company. It's still around called IMF. I think the name of the company has changed now. It's this massive company that kind of does financial shit, but kind of like cloaked, you know, a European-based company. And the company's worth like $700 billion. They loan money to other countries. And like it's almost like if you watch some of those Jason Bourne type movies, like they're really that. Like, okay, we got to go. They really are that. So he was the head of the company. So he had come to New York, and he's from Paris. He was about to run for president of France, and he looked like he was going to win. He had come to New York to do some business, and he, I guess I have to say allegedly, raped a hotel maid.
Oh, I remember this. Yes, but this was a long time ago.
2011, 12. It wasn't that long ago.
It was long enough ago for there to be an SVU episode about it. Okay.
Yeah. And he raped this hotel maid, and she
jetted out before they could do anything.
He was about to jet. He was on the plane when they caught him. Right. He did the alleged rape, broke out. They have video footage of him breaking out, getting into a cab.
And he had like ambassador plates and all kind of shit. So
he got into a cab. He was out. He was in the cab and bounced, and he was at JFK. He was on the plane. And then the police from the hotel hooked up with the police from New York NYPD, and they caught him like the plane was about to close and he was about to be gone. And then it turns into this whole thing where just international incident and all this stuff. And then the woman we raped is this poor woman from, I think she's from Guinea originally, a country in Africa, and she came and she lived in the Bronx, and she's just trying to make her way with her daughter, and it became this whole thing. It's a four-part documentary, but it's just fascinating because it shows kind of like how power at that level moves,
right?
And how they do what they do, and how this who do, and everybody's in the doc: the cops, the woman, Strauss-Kahn. He's not in it, but almost everybody else is in it. And apparently, he had a string of he did this all the time. He raped women,
wow,
all the time, but in France. So it's kind of like. It's a very interesting doc to show that how money moves and how they, how this poor woman, and the shit that she went through with the prosecutors, and it's very interesting. It's only four parts, so it's not long to go through, but I suggest you watch. It's called Room, I think it's called Room 2608, or something like that. That's the name of the doc.
Have you guys, watching the Reagan documentary?
This one over here been hitting me every day like I need to watch. I'm going to watch it, though. Shoot me with a sub shot, too, by the way.
It was not a sub.
This one over here says to me on the DM, I know you lived through it, but you should watch the Reagan doc anyway. I'm like, nigga. I think it was around for all that shit.
I know, but in fairness, I have seen people say I lived this in real time, and this motherfucker was even like more terrible than I realized. Like, fuck him, fuck his whole life. Fuck
yeah, now Inka, you finished it, right?
I finished it. Me and Trav watched it in real time.
You said it's great.
It's like watching what we just watched the last 5 years.
Like, so what the Trump documentary is going to be.
Yes, like Make America Great Again.
Except Reagan was more likable. And I think that's it. Yeah. I was a kid during the Reagan era, so I know all the horrible shit that he did and the rise of Newt Gingrich and all that other shit. Like, I know it intellectually, but I am very interested to go back and watch it now as an adult and understand, have a better like grasp on what it meant in real, like what Reaganomics and all that bullshit really meant in real time, you know? Because I'm aware of the nigga did, like, Reagan is basically, the Reagan era is responsible for the modern GOP as we know it. Like, this, all this bullshit they be doing.
It's responsible for so much. The 1%.
Yep.
The
Tea Party.
Of course, we know. The Tea Party. I didn't know Nancy Reagan was as diabolical as she was. She was awful. Worse than he was.
Nancy was running the White House for, like, the last week.
Because he had the old timers.
Alzheimer's. Like, Nancy was, like, structure in the stage and
he also struck me as someone that wasn't too bright.
Yeah, as a figure. Like,
he was not. If you watch the doc, they really go into that.
Like, yeah, I thought it was very interesting in watching his son, because the first episode,
Ron Jr.
Yeah, Ron Jr. He seemed a little apologetic about his dad, like in the first.
I feel like both their kids have spent their entire. I will
say that was just like the first episode. The subsequent episodes, like 2 through 4, he seemed to be much more clear and much more direct about his dad's flaws, right? Like, and he was able to do it in a way that I felt was like not saying, "Hey, I don't want my dad," you know, like I don't want to be a part of this legacy, but like he was just really. You know, he was really straight up and forward about some of the things where he was like, yeah, my dad was, this was a blind spot for him.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it though. Real Housewives of Potomac finale episode was Sunday past. Did anybody watch?
Finale or
I did.
No, it was the finale of the season.
I saw a clip of Michael acting a whole fucking
act. Yeah, that was this week.
At the party. And that was enough for me to be like, all right, maybe I do need to go back and watch this whole season. Or maybe I could just watch the reunion. Like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, reunion starts Sunday.
It was so rich that the only two white people a part of the cast were the one acting an ass in the very last.
That actually made me feel good in a way.
I felt good about it.
That the blacks were like telling the white people to chill the fuck out.
And also... Candace with the extra eye is very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? She lives in a world of delusion and calls other people like ghetto and beneath her and all that because she pops off all the time. And I think because there are tears there, people are like, oh, she's kind of soft, you know, she's tiny, she's smaller than everyone else and kind of pretty. So they don't take it as like a threat or like
younger,
the aggression that it is. But your girl is wild. She asks for ass whoopings all the time. If I were Kara, like 25 more pounds, she would put the brakes on all of them.
That's the thing that really pissed me off this episode is that this whole season has been about this fight between Candace and Monique, and Candace portraying herself as a victim and, you know, trying to get everybody on her side to say that she is the victim and get Monique kicked off the show because how dare she, and she's ghetto and she shouldn't have touched me, all that shit, right? And then this last episode, there's this confrontation between Chris, her husband, and Michael. And we can get into who's right or wrong or whatever with that. But Candace immediately does exactly what she did with Monique. Oh, fuck him. Fuck him. Your mother, you ain't gonna do shit. Fuck you. But she like literally causes the shit to escalate again. And she like, it's almost like Groundhog Day. And then she does the exact same thing to Karen and Bruh's boy Ray because Karen and Ray, Karen's like, I'm leaving. This is some bullshit. I'm
out of like, we out of here.
So Karen and Ray going downstairs to get their car. And then Chris, I think Chris is already downstairs, whatever. But Karen and Chris, Candace and Chris end up with Karen and Ray for a minute. And Karen says to Candace, yo, this basically the same shit with Monique. Yo, you got to do better. Like, this is crazy. Like, you out here, like instigating shit, and it ain't cool. Her husband doesn't say much. But Candace, again, starts to spin it like, Karen, why are you not on my side? Like, why are you not on my side? And so it's kind of like, and Karen's kind of like, because you was tripping. Like, I'm not saying, you know, Michael was right, but you threw a lot of salt on top that wasn't necessary. And so it kind of ends the same way with Candace kind of looking at Karen like, yeah, you want some bullshit because you didn't take my side in this, you know, this thing that just happened. It was, you know, whatever. It was crazy.
I think Michael was right. I mean, his approach might have been a little like, you know, not everybody likes the term check your woman or whatever because
she
went crazy. But like somebody needed to get her because she's screaming at somebody's engagement party.
Yeah. Again, over this fight with Monique and like fighting to get Karen to say that for Karen to quote unquote be on her side. And Karen just like, yo, you were both wrong. I don't know why are we even still talking about this shit? What you gonna say, bro?
I need Ray to stop dressing like a goddamn detective from 1947. Ray like a fucking extra on Kojak.
Word.
With that hat. Ray, I know Ray got some old school partners, man. Go get him a proper lid, man.
Get you something, man.
Yeah, man.
Stop it.
And tailor that overcoat, Ray. Cut the shit now. Y'all ain't that fucked up over there now. But aside from that, look, Michael was sauced out his mind.
He
was sauced.
He was jealous because, you know what I'm saying? His boo-boo getting ready to go off and get married. So he can't be lusting. I'm not even saying that in a funny way. I don't think there's any, you know, sexual thing. I think Michael has a really strong bromance with Juan.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Juan is just, you know, he's charismatic. He's a good looking guy. He, you know, he comes into the room, he kind of works the room, and Michael's attracted to that sort of stuff.
As
a lot of folks are. You know, watching the show, I mean, look, the reality is, as we all said this from early on, that they did not like Monique. Monique has had a hand in possibly, you know, not making it easy to be liked. But I also think that is due to her sensing the fact that she is not liked from the jump, from the gate. And we can wax poetic about this shit, but the reality is that Candace, Giselle, and Robin have formed this little alliance to try and make Monique seem like she was a crazed, out of control woman, and that nothing Candace did prior to that was sufficient for her to get her ass whooped. Yeah. Now, are we saying that, you know, I don't think anybody's saying that, yeah, she should have done worse or, you know, whatever, but like shit happened. It was a fight. Okay. Nobody fucking went to the hospital. Like, why are you going down here pressing charge? Like you make it, you're literally, this is literally where the saying you're making a federal case out of this comes from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you're making this shit way too much. I'm glad that case was thrown out. It never should have been in court. It's a fucking embarrassment that it even made it to a judge's desk. Okay, and furthermore, like this idea, man, that you guys, like Karen, has to be your friend, like to me, that's a her mom thing. Her mom has done a number on her, in my opinion, in how she views relationships, particularly with older women, with elder women, who. If they are not 100% behind, because I totally get, like, her mom is going to totally be 100% behind her no matter what she does. And I feel like Candace has had that all through her life. And she was expecting that same level of relationship from Karen. And Karen was like, first of all, you're literally like a kid to me.
Yeah.
And you're wilding out.
Yeah, you're wilding out.
Bring it the fuck down.
Yeah.
Take a chill pill. You don't get to dictate who I'm friends with, okay? I'm fucking 50-something years old. Little girl,
because
that's really what was you know, like I'm pretty sure she might have said that to her.
I think she did say that. I think she has said that at one point.
Take it easy.
Yeah,
Yeah. You go running behind Giselle and Robin if you want to.
And Wendy.
Your ass is going to be on the outs. Your ass is going to be on the outs too.
Yeah. 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 I agree. So we got the reunion this week. You know, there'll be some fireworks and all that shit. We also
and,
have.
The, and I just saw the reunion clip really quick.
Mm-hmm.
I've done security. You guys know. There's nothing more like anxiety driven than the nigga Chris Samuel size getting worked up. Like, I promise you, nigga.
Yeah.
Like, I promise you.
Yeah. Because that nigga is big.
You do not want no fucking all pro offensive lineman that you got no to go sense. Calm down.
Yeah. Because that nigga's a mountain. We also had the premiere of Real Housewives of Atlanta this week.
Really?
Yeah.
First episode. I absolutely missed that shit.
First episode was Sunday. Did you watch Inca?
Yeah, I watched.
What'd you think?
I think I'm over them in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, I appreciate the focus on like everything Portia was doing with the whole Breonna Taylor case and protesting, and you know, I will say, because I said this to Travis, I appreciate Portia's growth. And that we watched
agreed,
her grow up in the show. Like, she came on and was like this, you know, yes. little baby goat who yes. was just clinging to everybody. Like,
and just then she was a hot girl.
And then she was a hot girl and she got the new titties and all that. And she was hot and outcha and trying to make shit happen with all these dudes. But now she's like, okay, I need to step into my legacy with what my grandfather left. And like, mm-hmm. I appreciate the shit out of that. So I'm glad that Bravo is kind of like not looking for the mess in that. And it's just kind of documenting it. I appreciate that. But there are these people.
What were your thoughts on this? There's two people I've asked about it and we'll move on. I want to know your thoughts on Cynthia and I want to know your thoughts on Kenya.
I hate that I'm in a position to feel sympathy for Kenya because we know the kind of person that she is. But like, I know what a horrible divorce is. I know what that depression is like when you're all alone with a baby, you know, and you're secluded like COVID did for a lot of people. Like, people were talking about her weight all crazy and like what she looked like. And I'm like, she is surviving. Like, I'm glad she's getting away from this man. She's trying to take care of her money. Like, everything is about Brooklyn. Like, I appreciate that. Like, I hope it doesn't spin into her just being nasty and lashing out because of everything going on in her life and how like hurt she is right now. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate that she's trying to take care of herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like leaning on the friends that, you know,
and you see, are around her. And not even just the weight gain, but just in general, even her skin, everything, like you see the stress.
Yeah, you can see it on her.
It's just legit. It's not like, oh, she's just trying to get, you know, sympathy. No, you can see it. Like she's not quite put together as good as she usually is. And it's just because of the stress. It's not like she fell off. It's just like you could see it. Like she's gained a lot of weight. She's complaining to her boy. Like, I can't even put my clothes on and zip up.
She said, yeah, she gained 30 pounds.
Yeah, 30 pounds. You know,
30 pounds is a lot.
That's a lot. In a short period of time.
This summer, because, COVID. Yeah.
So, and you see, and what was your thoughts on Cynthia and Mike?
Cynthia still strikes me as a bit immature. Is it just me?
It's not you at all. So what happened with Cynthia, just to explain this, in the first episode, they're talking about their wedding, the planning of it. And obviously it's pandemic. And Mike is saying, look, we might not be able to have no wedding. Like, it's just fucking dangerous. And we, at that point, you know, 3, 4, 5 months ago when they filmed it, you know, not that we quite know what's going on now, but we really didn't know shit then. And he's like, yo, I don't know, man. Like, we might not, but it's dead, this wedding. And Cynthia's like, nah, fuck that. We having the wedding. And Mike's like, yo, like,
I deserve
a wedding because my first wedding was whack and Peter, you know, my money wasn't right then. And now this is my day. And Mike is like Mike gets serious on her. Like, yo, like, it doesn't matter what the way he says to her, do you want the wedding or do you want the marriage? Because it doesn't matter to me. We can go down the street today and get married and do something at a later date when everybody can be safe. And she's like, no, I want the whole shit. I want my day. And like Mike really looking at her like, Mike, I think he says something quick before and go like, yo, I'm wondering if like, do you want to marry me or do you want to just have a wedding? Like, and he's not joking. He's like, yo, like.
Yeah, he did say that to her.
Kind of wilding out. Like,
and she's like, why can't I have both? Because people will die, budge. Cynthia. This is why. Because
people, also because she could have it later. Like, that's the thing.
That's
she
what Mike said. That's what Mike said.
She could do it later. Like,
Mike said that. She's like, nah.
I know a ton of people that have, like, a courthouse day, and then they celebrate the anniversary of the giant wedding later on. Like,
I think I mentioned my cousin on here. She got married. She was supposed to have a normal wedding, like whatever that means. Like, you know, regular reception. And she ended up getting married, her and her now husband, in the park in Queens on Zoom. It was, like, in June, I guess, because, you know, you couldn't have anybody together. Mm-hmm. And it was what it was, man. Like, and I know there's a lot of people have done that, you know.
Our friend to the show.
Can I say?
I did that.
She had to postpone her wedding, like, a couple of times. She was supposed
who did?
Lauren. She was supposed to get married in November, and they pushed it to March, and they just pushed it indefinitely again.
Exactly.
Can I just say, and I don't like the term devil's advocate here. I got a feeling this is the first time Cynthia actually wanted to be married.
She basically says that. So
what I think we're sensing here is that, you know, Mike is looking at this as most men, right? Like he's looking at this as a very functional part. This part. First of all, you're married already. All of that shit is pomp and circumstance.
Right.
Every bit
paper.
Of it.
Yeah.
The paper is signed before y'all walk down the aisle.
True.
So he's looking at this from a very, you know, even keel standpoint, and what I don't necessarily know is that we're you know, Cynthia might be processing this in a very different way.
Oh, she definitely is.
Which is like, I think her other marriage, you know, like I feel like she, you know, I've always talked about this, how sometimes women will do things because they don't have a reason to say no. There's no paper. There's nothing checking the box that says I should say no to this. It doesn't mean it's what their heart is desiring. You know, she walked into that marriage with a cloud from her family questioning her, from, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was just a lot of different things. You know, her and Leon never married. They were together for some time. You know, so I feel like this was the first time she felt like, yo, this is my husband. Like, I want to show the world this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And look, obviously, we're living in a fucking panoramic right now, right? So it is what it is, right? Like,
there's a parabola.
Full panasonic right now, right? And so we get that, but she's also in that weird position of, I gotta bend here. And I don't really want to bend on this thing that I feel in my heart, right? Like, I'm not doing this for anybody. I'm doing this for me. And so I think that might be what is happening. And it's probably coming across as childish because it feels inconsequential to the world at hand.
Yeah, well, what's going on in the world right now?
Exactly. So it feels a little tone deaf. It feels a little selfish. It comes off a little bit. And you know what? You know, look, man, sometimes, and again, we don't know what was transpiring with her in the beginning of this pandemic. Maybe she needed a little fucking selfish time. You know what I'm saying?
I totally get all that as, like, a woman who got married to a nigga I probably shouldn't have married very young. We have a gigantic wedding, had a horrible divorce, and then meet the love of my life. I want a giant wedding. I want to celebrate that and show it to the world. But we got married on like a Tuesday or no, on a Friday in a gazebo at the courthouse because that's what we could do at the time.
That's
it. So it was, and obviously we're going to see the arc of this story, which ends, as we know from the blogs, with them having a wedding of 250 people during a pandemic. So
at the height.
It was
250?
It's 250, B. It's 250. They didn't film it, but it was huge.
Did any case come out of that?
It was covered.
I don't know.
I think
it was covered by magazines, but the show didn't film it.
Right.
Bravo wouldn't film it, but she hired her own crew to have the footage to get it.
I believe so. I believe so. Yeah,
but it was also a People exclusive because they have shots from, and they did like an interview on her about her COVID precautions. Like, people had on masks, except I think for photos, and there were like sanitation stations, you know, like the hand sanitizer stations and shit like that every however many feet. But
then Cynthia, I thought, wasn't Giselle,
somebody did end up with COVID, maybe not from the wedding, but somebody from the cast or somebody who is associated with the cast had COVID.
It was production. It was production.
Production. Okay.
And I know Giselle said publicly that, yeah, we walked in there wearing our masks, but by the time the party started rolling, nobody had a mask on.
Well, I did hear somebody else refute that who was there.
Okay.
And they were saying Giselle was not, like, people were, Karen was there. It was a couple
of Karen was there. Giselle was there. Yeah.
And nobody was talking to Giselle. And that's why she left.
Giselle's also fucked.
They all had, like, the glasses masks.
I can't fuck with
Giselle. And nobody was paying her attention. And that's why she left. But,
it sounds about right.
This from was absolutely, he said, everybody had on that weird glasses mask, even on the dance floor. And then when you were like at your table or when you were around a bunch of other people, you put your cloth joint back on. Nobody was unmasked except for like Cynthia at times because of photos.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Giselle's also fucks your mind.
But yeah. They said Giselle felt lonely. So that's why.
Whatever. Because Jamal didn't come with her to that either.
He did not.
In Atlanta. In Atlanta. In Atlanta. He didn't even have to travel. He took his car.
Let me not.
We'll talk about that off air. I just wanted to give another, I guess, sad shout out to basketball player Carl Anthony Towns, who's plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's from this area, from Paterson, New Jersey. He's from the Jersey area. And he's lost now 7 family members to COVID.
Jesus Christ.
His mom. Okay. And various uncles, and all again in a short period of time, like he's lost like, such a massive amount of people to COVID. I don't know. I haven't been able to find out. Did it stem from like a family gathering, or was it just kind of various things or whatever? And his mom, Carl's only 25 now, maybe. He's a young guy, and so his mom is pretty young too. Yeah, his mom is like young, he's a young guy. His mom's probably in her 40s, So he's also got a ton of family members, and it's awful what he's dealing with right now. So I just wanted to kind of say that.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's very tough. I don't know how he's gonna make it through the season. It's rough for him right now. What y'all think about this vaccine?
I'm tired of niggas. All right, listen.
These niggas that don't trust vaccines, but trust YouTube for all their information.
Listen. Here's where I'm gonna start.
Dr. Sebi into this shit.
Yeah. So this is what I want to do. I want to start with Tuskegee and the Trail of Tears, then address Dr. Sebi, then get to the vaccine. So first of all, yes, I understand that historically, black and other marginalized people have been used, without our consent or knowledge, right, to experiment on shit, right? Right? And I know that even now, doctors have conscious and unconscious bias about how Black bodies differ from other bodies. I'm aware of both of those things. However, it was one thing when Xavier and them were like, hey, Black people, come be part of this trial. Right? That was obviously absolutely not. This is a mass market release. Oh shit, my lights came on. Sorry. This is a mass market release of an FDA approved vaccine that has been through trial testing already. This is not, hey, Black people come line up. This is not, and also this is a vaccine. They were testing us to see what would happen with the actual virus if it ran its course. They did, they gave the indigenous smallpox. They gave us, the Tuskegee experiment with syphilis. That is not actually analogous to you taking a vaccine that is available to the mass market. Secondly, y'all niggas have already had at least 16 vaccines if you went to public school, and I don't know what the fuck you
talking about. What was that one with that ended up leaving the damn circle on your arm?
Smallpox.
That shit hurt like a motherfucker. I remember that. That shit hurt.
But you part of the last generation with the scar. They changed that shit. We ain't got them.
If you're in the military, you have one.
Really?
Really? I don't have that. My mom has it.
Mandated for y'all to take that in the military?
Yeah, as are every other vaccine. So, like, I don't really have an opinion because my husband's probably going to have to take that.
He's going to have to take it.
Right. So that's my thing. If you went to public school, you have been vaccinated for measles, polio, a couple of different strains of flu, like, and now
rubella, chicken.
Did y'all know that kids don't get chickenpox anymore? Did y'all know that? They get vaccinated for chickenpox. Kids don't get chickenpox anymore. So you also get vaccinated for chickenpox. If you work in healthcare, you have to have your immunizations. When I went to college, I had to have my immunizations. When you fly to certain countries, you have to have your immunizations. And when you fly to certain countries, you have to get immunized for the shit they got over there, right? You go to Africa, you got a whole list of shit you got.
Yeah, you got a
whole list.
So now all of a sudden, motherfuckers is acting like it's a violation of your personal and human rights and responsibilities that you might have to get a goddamn vaccine when it's part of the country. Like, the fucking life expectancy in 1900 was 35 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is a reason.
So let me ask you a question. So, Sarah, you going to take it?
100% I'm going to take it. But do you know why I'm going to take it?
You going to be one of the first ones? You taking it, like, next week?
But that's the other thing. Motherfuckers talking about what they not going to do and when. I'm healthy. I'm not even going to be able to take that shit until, like, 6 months after it comes out. Because
they're
going
to talk to the old folks now, right?
It's first responders first. This is not a commercial release. They are not releasing it for like profit use. It is a government.
They're treating that shit like Yeezys.
Right.
But it's also Pfizer is not only supplying the US with the vaccine.
But Germany as well.
Put in the bids way before America was like, hey, we need to get this.
What's the issue with, like, didn't the Trump administration turn down some shit?
No. So what happened was the Warp Speed program was basically a program where, and this is why so a couple things. The trials went quickly in part because drug trials usually require funding, they require participants in the trial, and that can slow things down. So the government actually partnered with pharmaceutical companies to help get this, to help get to a vaccine as soon as possible, right? With the agreement that for some, they funded it. Pfizer declined government funding. They went in partnership with a pharmaceutical company from Germany, but there was still an agreement on the back end that they would provide a set quantity to the US, but they also, like Inka said, there's a quantity going to Germany. The UK has rolled theirs out already. They started this week or last week. So they have their quantity already. And I think the initial batch is like 1 billion, which sounds like a lot, but split between multiple countries, that's not a lot. So the way it's gonna, but there are two pharmaceutical, that's why there's two pharmaceutical companies you're hearing talk about, so that we have a larger quantity. But the way it's happening is, again, this is a government rollout. So even though your doctor may have it, you can't just roll up and be like, I want the vaccine. It's first responders and healthcare workers first. Then it's the most vulnerable. And then it's you. So, like, the New York Times had an infographic where you can plug in your age. You can plug in whether or not you have any pre-existing conditions, any symptoms, whether or not you work in, like, you know, first line of response and defense. And they'll tell you approximately how many people are going to have to get the vaccine for you. So for me in New York, there's 16 million people ahead of me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm not even going to get the possibility of that shit before spring. But yes, I'm going to take it because, like, this, and this goes to the Dr. Sebi shit. Dr. Sebi's been dead for 4 years. I knew who Dr. Sebi was when I first started studying with him in, like, 2001, right? Niggas just started real. I'm not gonna say niggas just started because he's been around forever. Like, he came to prominence in the 80s, but niggas, young niggas, just really, like, started talking about him crazy, like, since he died. Like, because there's a mysticism around him because he's gone, right? And it's like, oh, it's the government, whatever the fuck. But here's the thing about holistic shit. First of all Dr. Sebi's proof was anecdotal at best. Like, there's no studies, there's no case studies, there's no data that he could run down and tell you all this shit. Secondly, I don't know why motherfuckers want to act like we don't all know that eating fruits and vegetables and natural shit is better than eating processed shit. We're all clear on that.
Eating McDonald's and shit.
Nigga, we know that. We're clear on that. That shit is not a revelation. It's not new information. We know the American diet is trash, largely. We know that we eat for convenience instead of health. We know all this shit. However, yes, you can eat, you can take supplements, herbs, plant-based diets, whatever, to optimize your health and for preventative measures. You can take it to alleviate symptoms when you get sick, but there is no plant that is going to stop a fucking virus, like a viral, you know, disease. Like, it's not, because if that was the case, the Indians wouldn't have gotten wiped. I mean, the indigenous people wouldn't have gotten wiped out from smallpox. Like,
according to TI, if you drink some hot water,
you can stop COVID.
Kills the COVID because it melts it in your stomach.
Hold on. You got to add the lemons now. He said,
and the lemons.
I put the citrus in there.
Yeah. Because you need the acid. It's alkaline.
The acid.
So there was a clubhouse room last night that was actually really, really well done with three sisters, a couple of them from the UK, one from the US, all various levels of healthcare professionals who had other black, it's healthcare in color, I think they're calling it. And they had other, like, one sis who came up is both studying in homeopathic medicine and also in, like, genetic, you know, disease and all that. Like, she had basically every credential across the board to argue all this shit, right?
What she said? She said take the vaccine? So
she was saying that, like, the way people dismiss actual science is baffling, which is what all of them are trying to say, but they were really respectful about it. But one thing I love that she broke down that, like, alkaline water is bullshit. It's just a label that people slap on water. It doesn't mean shit.
Bullshit. The whole world is bullshit.
Yeah, and the idea that mucuses causes diseases is bullshit, right? And Dr. Sebi's disdain for, because, you know, black people like to be like, the stuff we eat, it's genetically engineered, it's not even real. And she was like, do you know what broccoli is a cross between? It's a cross between kale.
Yeah, broccoli's not real.
Cabbage. Yeah, but she was like, but it's a cross between kale and cabbage. Broccoli's a made up vegetable. Mm-hmm. Right, but she was like, but Dr. Sebi was telling niggas not to eat broccoli. She was like, broccoli is a cross between kale and cabbage. It has the nutrients of both. She was like, eggplants and strawberries and cucumber were so toxic in their natural state. They would have been inedible. It would have been impossible in a world like ours, in an environment like ours, to have sustainable fresh food without us having food hybrids. It would have been impossible, right? So she was like, "You guys need to understand what it means for it to be a hybrid. Y'all just take this shit as a negative." And that's what everybody was saying. Like, stop looking on YouTube for your information. Stop just, you know, going to something. Like, by all means, inform yourself. But also, like, to argue against people who have studied shit for, like, 6 years, 10 years, you know what I mean? Like, is insulting and also really silly, right? So that's my thing with the Dr. Sebi shit. Like, every time niggas get on some new, and I'm not just going to say niggas, this is white people too. Y'all motherfuckers get on wheatgrass shots and gluten-free shit and even veganism. And before alkaline, it was electrolytes. Y'all act like y'all just stumbled upon some shit that was, like, written in a cave behind a door that everybody else doesn't know. But honestly, you're on a trend. This is a trend. Like, health and wellness, to an extent, is a trend. My mom was eating all this bullshit, all this healthy shit, taking a piece of bread off the top, sprouts and pita and sparkling water instead of sodas and all that shit. And she still had cancer. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and I remember when Reg first said he had cancer, somebody was like, well, if you went vegan, the nigga was already vegan. It's like, you know what I mean? It's somebody up there had sickle cell. And he was saying sickle cell is genetic. If one more motherfucker tries to tell me that if I eat shit differently and fucking cleanse my blood, I would get rid of sickle cell. He was like, it is genetic. It is incurable. And this guy got up on stage and was like, well, are you and your parents' diets the same? And everybody was like, it didn't stop. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah.
So you're going to take it. All right.
Also, Pete Rock posted.
I can't talk about Pete Rock. I love Pete Rock. But Pete's going off the edge and he's gone. I can't. I'm sad to listen to Pete for Pete. I can't. Damn, I'm sorry for Pete. Inka, you taking it?
I'm going to take it. I have to make that decision for Ivy, though. Of course. I don't know. So you know how you get the flu shot, you get a little sick. I don't know that the little sick is going to be cool with her, like, BPD and asthma. And that's not something that she can, like, tell me, like, I feel sick. So I don't know that I'm going to give it to her until, like, maybe when she enters school. But
how have you handled her vaccination so far?
So she gets them on an amended schedule. She's up to date now, but because she was so little, like in the beginning, like they couldn't, she didn't have no muscle really when she was born. So she didn't get all of the stuff you get like as a newborn, a 2-month-old, whatever. Yeah. So we just amended her schedule until she caught up. And she still gets a flu shot every year, but, I gotta be careful. I'm going to see how it affects me. And then hopefully I don't get, you know what I mean?
I do want to point out,
what you going to do?
I would get it. I'm not necessarily like going to be first in line. You know, I'm definitely.
Y'all go ahead in front of me.
Y'all want to be first and everything else.
Yeah, let me know how it was.
Let me know how it's hitting. What it's hitting for?
Hey, Travis.
You know, but I would not be.
Let's ask Travis after him.
I'm not necessarily going to be against it.
Okay.
As much as I'm not, I'm also not very eager. And again, I like Naima said, I fall into a space where I'm a healthy adult male. Right. I'm not a frontline worker. I am not a first responder. I am not in the medical. You know, my exposure is wildly limited. It's literally limited to what I do, where I go. I can control my environment far better than, say, person who works at Walmart, who has to go into a place where they have to be around people in order to put food on the table. I can work from home. You know, so this.
Have you heard anything about the? Are they going to be trying to give it to professional athletes? Because obviously, you know, they kind of keep what's going on.
I'm sure they will.
I mean, early, give it to them early.
I'm sure they will. I don't necessarily know. You know, remember they have a players' union, so I don't know if their players' union will be okay with that. They might give some pushback.
Yeah.
They might want to wait for some more studies.
I also don't know if they would announce that.
I would also say too, these guys are. It would kind of be insane, and it's almost the same issue as with the testing. These are the world's fittest people. They have gotten, you know, A1 nutrition and medical attention since the time they were 15 years old.
Yeah.
So they are not, you know, going to be in that wheelhouse. And you know, a lot of these dudes. You know, they're young. They're going to be like, I'm not taking that shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat this tree bark.
They're going to talk about that.
Elderberry.
They're going to drink this sea moss. They're going to drink this sea moss.
Some ginseng, and I'm going to keep it pushing.
But I think the important thing, and Travis, we want to know what your thoughts are on the vaccine too. But I think the important thing to note, like for me taking it, it's not even really about me. And I think that's what people are missing. I'm not so much taking it so I don't get sick. I'm taking it so that I don't have to be as concerned about being around other people and getting them sick. That's the point. The point is to stop a spread. It's not just to not get you sick, but it's to keep you from infecting other people around you. And I think that's one of the things that people keep missing about this. Like, I'm doing it so I can feel like I can be in the world responsibly instead of panicking. Like, what if I'm a fucking asymptomatic carrier? You know what I'm saying?
Wait,
like,
so if we take this shit, that mean we got to wear the mask no more, none of that? We could wear our regular?
The mask, I would say you probably still should just protect yourself.
I would not advise. And the mask is of no consequence to your life. Even if you got this vaccination,
it's just,
you've gone 8 months living life with a mask. It would not impact your life one way or another if you don't know what other niggas do. That's the other thing. Because you know, listen, the same way you could get, you know, people still got fake IDs. You don't think people gonna get fake vaccination? And yeah, I got my shot. Nigga got Corona 23. Nigga, you don't know.
Yeah. It's also like that's keep your mask on because that's the same way regular vaccines work. Not everybody can take them.
True. Trav, let me ask you a question. Like you being in the active in the service, as much as you can tell us, I know there might be things you can't mention, but as much as you can tell us, what are they saying about the vaccine as far as people in the service?
Well, for starters, I got to be honest. This may sound selfish, but I don't want to be the first to take anything. But
that don't sound selfish. That sounds realistic.
I don't want to be the first. But most definitely what's probably going to happen with us, because nothing's going to stop the national defense. So 9 times out of 10, they're going to line us up and pretty much give us no choice but to take it so we can actually get back to full force, because we've been doing a lot of this, the virtual, you know, working from home and stuff, and trying to slowly integrate back into actually working and running drills and training. Okay. But when it comes down to it, they're probably going to line us up and say, you have no choice but to take it because we need to get back to 100% full force.
That makes sense.
Reasons and whatnot.
Yeah, you can't kind of do military from a computer. You know, you got to kind of be
exactly.
Got to be there.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we'll see.
Y'all know, if I turn into a turnip, with this.
All right, girl. Thank you so much. All right,
bro. Be safe.
Thanks,
I mean, I'm like Sean. I'm definitely going to sit back for a while, keep wearing my mask, keep doing what I've been doing. God, as of now, I haven't been physically sick. You know, I always approach it as I think I probably have had it, but I'm just asymptomatic. I don't approach it as somehow I ducked it. But I'm going to lay back for a minute and watch and let some other folks take it. I know they started giving it to a lot of people in the UK yesterday, I believe that was the first day. So we'll kind of see what some of the side effects or whatever that they'll let us see from that. And, you know, we'll see. Again, like Nia said, as Black people, a lot of us are very wary about, vaccines and all that because of what's happened in the past. With Tuskegee Institute, I saw something else recently where there was a doctor sterilizing a bunch of Black women. Like, and there's a ton of other shit that's happened to Black people, to Indigenous people, to, you know. So I'm a little cautious, but I also don't want to, you know, put myself out there to just never take it and then get sick. So, you know, eventually.
I mean, all I know is I've never had polio and I've never had the measles
or chickenpox,
smallpox. I had chickenpox.
I had chickenpox at 18 years old.
Oh my God.
When I tell you, it was it was hell, bro. Yeah.
How long did it last?
It lasts, I believe, I was out of school for a minute. It was actually a small little outbreak in my high school because it was maybe like 6 other students. Now, mind you, this is my high school. We have 4,000 kids, right? Like, so this is... There's like several different housing projects located to this one school. So there's a lot of us in there. But I caught it my senior year of high school, around that first week or two. When did OJ, when did they chase OJ?
It was warm.
93.
It was warm. That was like May. June because it was the NBA Finals or something.
Yes. I remember that. Mm-hmm. I definitely had it during that period. I remember, I was out of school at least 2 weeks, maybe, because I was fucked up for a week. Like, I was in bad shape. Like, my sister had to,
baths and all that shit?
Oatmeal baths. I had to get, oatmeal baths, and she had to put the lotion on me. And, you know, I'm young. I'm 18 years old and shit. You know, I got my oldest sister, you know, rubbing me down, fucking lotion.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That shit was awful.
She was awful, yeah.
I remember chicken pox. It's my earliest memory, actually.
I think I had mumps.
Oh, my nigga, I had measles. Yeah,
you're so fucking old.
I just had mumps, nigga.
Nigga, did the milk? Did you get the milk off the front porch too, nigga?
Yeah, I had milk. I had mumps, and I remember getting my tonsils out and eating ice.
Eating ice. This nigga got the gout.
I still eat ice to this day because I remember being like a little kid, get my tonsils out, and all I could eat was ice. And they just give me cups of ice, and to this day I eat ice all the time because of that shit. Real quick, I want to give a shout out to these two kids who are not named, 12-year-old boy and a 7-year-old cousin who drove their family car from Queens to Delaware.
A Range Rover.
What?
I still cannot believe they got down the turnpike. They had to go through tolls.
Yeah.
They got down the turnpike. And the only reason they got caught is because they tried to use a credit card.
He took a credit card. I really think that little nigga was running weight. Like, I'm just saying.
Nigga,
you went all the way to Delaware in a Range Rover at 12 and you had a credit card on you and everything. Somebody was waiting for you on the other
side. With your 7-year-old cousin. That means they must have used Easy Pass and all that shit. Yeah. Like,
You could, in Easy Pass, you could just blow through whether you got it or not. Yeah.
They'll send it to your house.
But that to me is an indication that they've been outside. Okay.
Oh, definitely.
Like, this is definitely
because he know how to drive.
Because fam, at 7,
yeah,
he knew how to get on the turnpike. Let's start there. At 12,
I have trouble getting on the fucking turnpike.
At 12, I might have been able to drive around the block. I don't know that I would have been able to find my way to the motherfucking highway,
especially from Queens. Like, Queens is not close to the turnpike.
Fam, you gotta go
over bridges.
You gotta get on the fucking cross. You gotta get on the cross Bronx and come fucking through here and go to the G.
They had the little baby mixtape playing and all that.
I was like, y'all need to cut them seats open, open up, like pull that back joint up or something. That shit, there's more to that shit.
He took the Belt Parkway to the Verrazano.
My God.
Grown people who can't drive on the Belt Parkway. Are you kidding?
Fam, that has to
be. I cannot drive on the Belt Parkway.
That truck has to have the darkest tinted window. I can't believe that anybody driving on the highway saw two kids in a car like that. And no one called.
But check it out, though.
This is crazy.
They said that the cops tried to get them to pull over, and the boy just kept going to Jersey. He ain't stopped and just kept it pushing. And state trooper spotted him in Jersey, made another attempt to stop him, and he just kept going. And so the police would pull back, I guess, because they didn't want to scare the boy.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't.
They just let him rock out all the way down.
Somebody in a days in at exit fucking whatever. Right before you get to the Delaware Memorial Bridge, waiting on that.
Yeah. Change the duffel bag. You get the duffel bag, you go to cash. Bring that back to Pee Wee and them. Get yourself some McDonald's.
Because I actually thought about that this morning when I was crossing the Delaware Memorial Bridge. I was like, ain't no way in the hell a fucking 12-year-old fucking got all the way to this motherfucker.
12 years old.
Now, a country 12-year-old might have.
Yeah.
But the country 12-year-old still wouldn't be able to get on the Belt Parkway and on the goddamn turnpike.
There are pockets of Queens that are kind of country. So
not like I'm driving the track.
I know what you're saying.
So we're chilling in the passenger seat during all this bullshit. Pipe playing
his little video game. He's chilling out.
Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, Nintendo Switch world. I wanted to mention this story with Vlad TV. So Casanova, who's a rapper from the Bronx originally, actually, but Brooklyn-based rapper, was arrested on some charges of various things, and he has been on Vlad TV, which is a YouTube show where Vlad has
platform.
Yeah, a YouTube show where Vlad has all kind of people coming in, mostly from the criminal element. He has old mafia guys on there, a lot of like rap guys with Freeway Ricky Ross and like kind of guys that have kind of been through the system and so on. Along with, you know, he has comedians and stuff on there as well. But anyway, so it came out that the prosecution is going to be using some of the stuff that Casanova said on Vlad's show against him in his case. So this sparked a lot of stuff on social media about, you know, Vlad being a snitch, Vlad being down with the cops, you're going, Vlad, you're playing yourself, blah, 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 blah. It also came out that they're using a lot of testimony that 6ix9ine used, 6ix9ine said against Casanova as well. I guess because it was two rival gangs fighting against each other as well. But the Vlad thing, I've always felt that there's a. I'm not saying Vlad is a like a cop or something like that, but I do feel like it's not hard to tell. Like there is a hip hop police, you know, task force that people seem to don't kind of realize is real.
No, it's real,
very very real. And of course, they watch Vlad. If niggas want to get on Vlad TV and talk about the shit that they did, and because they caught your man doing the same way. What's his name in Philly? AR Ab. He went on Vlad TV and got real reckless with the mouth about all the shit he was doing, and he shot this one, and he was moving weight here in this neighborhood. Like, he really told himself, and they arrested his ass. He's going for life.
But Vlad also intentionally And I say intentionally.
Or he baits because, you with his questions.
Yeah, because whether he's doing it to cooperate with law enforcement or whether he's doing it for clickbait, Vlad asks incriminating questions. He asks people to incriminate themselves. And I feel like there is reporting, right? There is asking objective questions. And there's asking like, yo, tell me about this. Tell me about homeboy that you shot. So you shot him, right? And then, So how many drugs did you sell? How much money did you make?
How old were you selling your first kilo? It's like,
so who else were you with? What color sweatshirt did you have on? Like, you can hear, like, this nigga will really be asking clarifying ass questions.
What kind of car were you driving?
That was in June. So that was before or after you shot such as that. Like, literally, this is how your man leads questions. Like, it would really be leading the witness if they were on stand. And this is why people say that he's a snitch. But you're also right, Jeff, in that if you actually go on there and answer that dumb shit, like, it's kind of on you too, right?
Because there are some guys, there's a rapper in Atlanta. He's very big in Atlanta. He never broke national name, Pee Wee Longway. And, you know, Pee Wee's a street guy, and I'll leave it at that. But he was on Vlad's show, and Vlad was asking him all these questions, and Pee Wee was like, what? Nah, I mean, come on, man. Nah. So Pee Wee just went through the whole interview and didn't answer one question. Like, he was just like, nah, man, I'm a rapper, man. Come on, I'm a rapper. You know, he tried
I saw that clip.
Yeah, he tried to get Pee Wee.
Trying to get him to admit
talk about his gang affiliation. He's like, nah.
He was like, blue? Bro, what do you mean?
Blue's a nice color. It's a nice color. You know what I'm saying? So, you don't have to get on there and fucking tell your life away. If you do that and then somehow it comes back on you, that's really kind of more on you, especially now. When there's tons of tapes of people doing that, you can easily watch it and see what you should and shouldn't do. Go ahead, bro. So,
I have a, my issue here is that Vlad, the usage of Vlad in this context to me is a little bit of low hanging fruit, and I'll explain. You know, Vlad, in my opinion, has been what's called, I think it's called a generic size, which is basically like when some brand kind of takes over what a thing is, like when we would say Xerox, which is really a photocopy, you know, it's just, you know, so we use Vlad in that same way. When we say FedEx, and we really just mean overnighted.
Yeah.
Right.
We say Clorox, so we mean bleach, but it's like,
yes. So
they're not the only bleach. Yeah, I'm understanding.
Exactly. So I've gone on YouTube, particularly during the pandemic. I spent quite a bit of time on YouTube. So in between my videos of guns and smoking hogs, putting hogs in the ground and shit, you know, I will look at some of these videos. There is no shortage of these videos.
None.
Millions of them. Not all Vlad.
You're not.
They're not all Vlad. And I can assure you that the feds are not making a case based on what is being said on Vlad. They don't need to make a case of what's being said on Vlad. A lot of times what you're seeing, these are also federal charges. These are massive charges. That doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
They've been on the backs. They've been working these cases for a very long time. They know who the players are. Okay, like every scene in the movie, you see the guy flips the board over.
Yeah.
He's got all the players on there. Mm-hmm. Okay. That happens long before any charges come down to you.
Yeah.
And the feds don't charge you unless they're sure.
Exactly. By the time the feds charge you, the case is over.
So the use of Vlad is more of additional things that they want to put on. It is not the cause or the root. You know, and listen, I'm not saying, this is obviously all alleged. This guy's innocent. All of these guys are innocent as of right now. Mm-hmm. And they have to, you know, fight this case, and they will fight this case. A lot of times, too, what the feds do and what we're seeing here what I think is with a lot of rappers is that their connections to these organizations are so through and through. And they're able to wash money in ways that they weren't necessarily able to wash money prior to, you know, when you just kind of signed to a traditional label or you had these management agreements and things like that. You know, a lot of this is paper bag money. A lot of this is independent money.
Mm-hmm.
what I noticed, and I believe Irv Gotti said this in an interview, was the case for him when the feds came and raided Murder, Inc. Mm-hmm. And it one of the few cases that the feds lost was it was always a ploy, he felt. It was a way for them to freeze his money so they could go after Supreme. Yeah. And he didn't have the means to defend himself.
Yeah.
Because he, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of this shit is a little bit of chess, a little bit of, you know, we're going to move this piece here, we're going to move that piece there. You know, again, Vlad to me is he's just become sort of the name attached to going on there and talking too much. There's another, I think Queens Flip and one of the other guys, they have a podcast. These dudes are talking about all sorts of shit. Jail war stories, and I got cut so-and-so in 87, and you know,
gave him $1.50 and all that shit.
Some of this shit is like the statute of limitation is gone. These guys have actually done the time for their crimes. They can't really be tried again here. But I say all that to say, I don't look at Vlad in that way. I mean, he's I don't know his YouTube situation in terms of how he monetizes.
He does really well.
That's what I was going to say. I think the reason they use Vlad also, Sean, is twofold. One, because he's white. Or he's not black, rather. So they look
at him. He's white.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know, but I was thinking he might be Jewish. He might be, I don't know. But he's not, you know, he's not black. He's white. So they look at him as a cultural infiltrator. Because I can't remember how he got his start, but whatever it was shady. I can't remember what it was, though. But I remember it was questionable. However, he got the money to, like, to start the his page or whatever. And at somebody else's expense, if I'm remembering correctly. But secondly, because he goes wildly viral, you know what I mean? And actual names do Vlad, like not just random ass rappers. Like I remember he did like.
Well, he's got Vlad has 4.8 million subscribers. Exactly.
So yeah,
like that is a massive. That's a massive audience mm-hmm. under like, any circumstance.
Yeah,
right. And so what they do is they do something very well. Is they shorten those clips and he takes that 2-hour interview and he gives you, you know, 45 seconds to a minute, 15 of a clip here, of a clip there. It kind of drives that traffic to the page. It gets picked up on the blogs. They've done really well for themselves doing that. And in fact, blogs have done well as well because they'll get that traffic as well. Right. So there's a lot of hands that kind of go into this.
Exactly.
But anybody that is active, and I know that we all tend to think that we're, you know, smart and we kind of got this all figured out. But as we've heard from some of the evidence that's being put in, these guys are talking on open lines. These guys are, you know, congregating in places that are public, that are out in the open. That are
reckless. You know, reckless.
This is not really a secret society. I mean, some of these guys have committed to this life, and that's just what it is.
Yeah. So, I found that interesting. I want to wrap up. Have any of y'all been starting to watch your Christmas movies yet and all that shit?
I did a couple of. I didn't do Jingle Jangle yet.
I still haven't done Jingle Jangle either.
I've done a couple of them. I'm trying to think, is there one that I've done that had the blacks in it just yet? I don't think I've done any of those.
I'm all in. That's like,
I started watching.
I've been watching
the Swing TV right now. I've been watching all of them.
I've been watching like TV one ones, you know, the real black ones that are terrible. But I watched one last night. It was terrible. It was awful. I watched it all the way through today.
I think Jack A has one that's coming up.
Yeah. Hers actually look pretty good, though. I'm watching
Jack A. Yeah.
I watched a Christmas movie, but on Saturday, on Lifetime, they have a little mini.
Oh, the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, if you think I'm not watching that,
nigga, no question. I am in.
I can't wait.
With Mario Lopez playing Colonel Sanders?
Nigga, I'm all the way
in. We got to do it. We got to do it.
The culture,
yeah. So I'm doing that. I'm definitely doing that. I'm definitely gonna watch that Jack Hay joint when it come on. I gotta watch Jingle Jangle.
Jingle Jangle was really, really beautiful.
I heard it's really good.
Yeah, you know, and that's a Morgan alumni, so I definitely gotta watch that to support.
I want to say one thing.
Film. Shout out to John Legend. Sorry.
Okay.
Nice. Good, bro. There's a documentary called Billy. It's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, the Billie Holiday joint? I heard it's excellent.
Yeah, it's really, really well done. I would definitely recommend it for anybody They're just like stories, right? Like it's a very, it's not just that it's Billie Holiday and all of the legend that comes with Billie Holiday, but it's also a very well curated story, right? Okay. Like it's really, really good. It really explains a lot. Miss Billie was living.
Yeah. Cause she, when she died, she wasn't that old, right?
She was 44.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow. 44 when she died.
Young. Yeah. Yeah.
Along that line, when is Ma Rainey's Black Bottom coming on Netflix?
18th.
Netflix last
December. Movie. December 18th. Yeah. That's 18th. On my calendar.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm watching that too. Yeah.
I'm all in. I'm excited.
I'm watching that in the theater downstairs. I'm getting my chair.
The come on, popcorn. Theater.
Popcorn and all that.
Yeah, all that. I'm you know all saying? That.
And me, Ivy going to be in the driveway at 5:30, so make sure you let us in, Sean. So we together.
And, we of course, we got Versus this weekend as well with Keisha Cole and Ashanti.
I mean, I'm gonna watch it, but like,
I actually think it's gonna be better than people think it is.
I think it's gonna be entertaining. I'm just not invested.
Yeah, I think
I'm not invested.
Ashanti's boring.
I was a Keisha Cole fan, though. I mean, I don't say was, like, she died. Like, I liked a lot of her music. I wasn't sure at first when she came with the first joint, the Kanye joint. I was like, but then I dug into that album when it came out and kept coming, I changed my mind and love. And I was like, okay, there's something here. Like I saw her growth. Interestingly enough with her, I think
blow up is definitely like,
but I think doing the reality show actually fucked her up and threw her off because it exposed too much of her background, and people started focusing more on Frankie and Neffy and, yeah. And all of them.
Well, but did the reality show mess her up, or did
she got the reality show because they knew she was ghetto?
Because to me, I don't necessarily know that the music that followed had the same potency as that initial run.
Well, you know what happened. You're right there, because you know what happened.
She lost her deal, right?
Yeah, she left her first label, and the guy who signed her, this guy, his name is Ron Fair, he's a white cat, and he was really instrumental in making those records because he's like a instrumentalist and he's like a great arranger.
He's a record guy.
He's a total record guy. So that's why those first records are big and had like live strings and, you know, like all that, like Love and Heaven Sent. That was all him. And then when she left him, the music kind of went down. You know, it went downhill.
So, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily – I think actually the reality show helped her solidify that audience. I think that reality show is part of why she's still able to tour and she's still able to kind of go out there and sort of earn a living in that pocket because she really doesn't move from it, right? Like, she really stepped into it, I think. Yeah. And you know, obviously I'm not comparing her to Whitney. But it was a very similar, they tried to kind of make it this pop, you know, sort of R&B pop-ish.
Yes,
we're
going to
come out with the R&B, but we're going to move her into that. And then it was like, you saw her with being Keisha Cole, and it was like, oh, nigga, she is nobody's.
But I think we saw that from the, like, if you look at Keisha from, if you look at Keisha in I Changed My Mind, that was a very rough and raw Keisha, right? I always was just impressed with the growth, like Jeff said, from that first Keisha to like second album Keisha, right? To like Heaven, to like Sent from Heaven, like Heaven.
I remember and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it was like going. It was like going from Mary's background. If you go in the to the Father MC Do For Me video to her standing on a fucking cliff for Happy or whatever the hell, you know what I mean? So it's like so I was impressed with that, but I just never felt like she had big songs, but I didn't feel a connection to her as an artist. And yeah. I think that's kind of the same thing with Ashanti. Like people forget, or people didn't know, but I think other people forget. When Beyonce first put her solo album out, critics were like, she's no Ashanti. Because Ashanti has so many.
Well, Ashanti's first album was great. You know?
Yeah, because she has so many pop hits, but she's fucking boring. Like Ashanti's.
Yeah. But Keisha, like, again, just the Keisha thing, I thought, that's why the Ron thing really hurt her, because it was really smart for Ron to kind of keep that raw edge of her vocal, but to surround it with that type of production. So it was like, you're hearing this raw, like, raspy, voicey, like, almost kind of straining the time because she was feeling it so much, mixed with all this big, beautiful production and what's kind of coming away.
Somebody mentioned, what do you think about this, Jeff? Somebody mentioned on Twitter that she ran from the Mary comparisons and it hurt her.
She did. She definitely ran for the Mary comparisons. She wanted to be, you know, her own person. You know what I'm saying? You know, and she didn't want to kind of be. I mean,
it's kind of stifling, though. In fairness, you know, that's.
Because she could never be her. It's always gonna be, I guess, kind of Mary 2.0 all the time, you know. But again, I'm interested in this because I'm a Keisha fan.
I mean, I'll pop in and out. But you know, God bless. I wish everybody well.
But you know,
I'm not locking it for 2 hours.
I'm not finna be in there for no 2 hours, bro. I'm definitely not doing that.
All right. So that's what we do next week. And maybe next week we'll start reviewing a couple little Christmas movies and our favorite Christmas songs, and Inka maybe make us some gingerbread cookies or something like that.
I'll have mom.
I'm ready.
We'll be back and start.
You ready? All right, let's do it.
I made what did I make? Rice Krispie treat Christmas trees. You dip them in the green white.
Wow. Oh shit! Are you getting it? You do the gingerbread house.
No, because nobody eats gingerbread. It's a waste of natural resources.
I'm showing off my old nigga.
I have. Man. Two Christmas trees. We got the lights up around the TV. Yeah,
okay. You got the fancy one and the little kid one. Is that you?
Exactly that. Yes.
Are these real or these artificials?
One's artificial, one's real. Actually, shout out to my husband's mentee. Actually, was out getting Christmas trees and he just like dropped one off at the house, which I thought was the sweetest.
That's pretty dope.
So yeah, we definitely two trees.
All right.
I'm gonna have my mom pop in next week too, so she can tell y'all. This woman had like, I found out she's on all kinds of boards and fucking, like she speaking of gingerbread houses. She was like the judge of a gingerbread contest for the city, and
that's all, so
like,
dope.
So I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Like, she running all over the place. She's very busy.
Love that.
All right, so we'll see y'all next week. Y'all stay safe. Wear your mask. I don't know if I should say take the vaccine, but wear your mask.
You got time.
Listen to science.
Bullshit. Stop spreading bullshit.
Stop getting all the information off Facebook.
Poor Ryan Coogler. He in another rewrite of the goddamn Black Panther right now because Letitia Wright done proved herself to not believe in science. Mm. Now what you gonna do?
And we'll see y'all next week.
Later. Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.